look at a few things this morning. I know it's easy, we talk about stuff a lot, but I want to go over some Bible verses. In case you don't know why we believe what we believe on some things, we want to go over the verses and look at them and say, this is, you know, you can take the Word of God and build a case for what you believe. Not that the Word of God needs our help, but it's just we ought to have Scripture to back up what we believe. So, in Luke 16, let's go ahead and anybody volunteer to read some Bible verses? Any thinkers? Brother Paul, Sister Linda? Sister Glenda, would you read Luke 16, 19 through 21? Please. I mean, are you volunteering to read them out loud? That's what I'm asking. Okay, there you go. Luke 16, 19 through 21. If you would. All right, so here we're looking at the rich man and Lazarus. We're looking at the story of pointing to the fact that it's not about money, obviously. It's about where they put their faith. Brother Paul, would you read 22 through 24? Go ahead, read 26. Yeah. All right, so here we're looking at Lazarus and the rich man. We're looking at the fact that it says that Lazarus in Abraham's bosom and the rich man went to hell. Then he talks about that they could... The rich man could see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. There was a gulf fixed. They couldn't get to one another. There was a separation. But Abraham's bosom. And why we believe what we believe about where the people went and why they went there. So the Old Testament saints... went to Abraham's bosom. And we're going to look at Bible verses to show you why. Christ hadn't died yet. So they couldn't get to heaven. They couldn't get out of there. But look at Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3. Romans 3. Verse 25. Well, let's look at 24 and 25. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. Sins that are past. What sins were past when Jesus Christ shed His blood? Old Testament saints. So they were in a place where Remember, it's impossible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. The blood of bulls and goats covered sins for a season. But the blood of Jesus Christ takes away sins. So when it's talking about Him dying and His blood atonement for sins past, remember, He died to pay the sin debt of the world. He died to take the curse, the Old Testament curse, the sins of the Old Testament saints. And the sins of New Testament folks. So when it's talking about sins that are past, he's talking about paying a debt from Genesis 3 on. Remember, the crown of thorns was about the curse on this earth. He paid that debt on Calvary, so he's the one that's able to regenerate and sit on the throne of David, regenerate this earth. But he also paid the sin debt for them. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And we want look at verses 14 and 15. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So he's talking about paying the debt of under the first testament. That was under the law. So that, remember, the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sins, but they could cover them for a season. So God looked at them. He didn't see their sins for a season because of the blood of bulls and goats. Jesus Christ's blood takes sins away. And there's another part of your eternal security. He doesn't cover your sins temporarily. He takes them away. Remember what David said, and David is a type of the saved believer in this age. Now, there were some differences, but he's a type. A type's not exact. David said, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." So if you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ today, God will not impute sin to you for your eternal salvation. He will not impute sin to you. Why? Because all of your sin has been taken away. Say, well, yeah, but what about future sins? Well, Jesus Christ died, all of your sins were future. And God knew you were going to be a sinner. And God knew you were going to mess up afterwards. That's why Paul, he gives you Paul's writings to tell you to get right. He gives you 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he gives us eternal security verses. And he gives us eternal life, not temporary life. But the Old Testament saints here went to Abraham's bosom. Jesus Christ paid their sin debt according to Romans 3:25 and Hebrews 9:14 through 15. And then look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So those people were captive in Abraham's bosom, and he led them out. How do we know that? Well, look at Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Okay, 51. Matthew 27, 51. And behold, this is talking about the crucifixion. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, Jerusalem, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. So those Old Testament saints, because he paid their price, paid their sin debt off, and he was able to lead them captive, they come out after his resurrection. That's what it says in verse 53. So they were able, they had their sin debt completely forgiven then. It wasn't just covered, it was wiped away. But they had to earn their way to Abraham's bosom. And I don't exactly know God's figuring system, his rendering on this, his calculations on, but I do know this, it had a lot to do with their heart and their being truly repentant heart and conviction for sin and understanding they'd sinned against God. So verse 54 is really important too, because it says, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things which were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. So that was a testimony of the power of the resurrection. When those Old Testament saints, the earthquake opened the graves, and the resurrection allowed them to come out. The resurrection power led them out of there, Jesus Christ did. So that's where we get Abraham's bosom, and the fact that paradise was in the center of the earth. And now Paul, remember Paul, see, this is also paradise, right? Paul said he was caught up to the third heaven. He was caught up to paradise. So Paul, so it was below, and then Jesus Christ led captivity captive. Now it's up above with God. Paul was caught up to the third heaven. He talks another place about being caught up to paradise. So that's what happened. Jesus Christ led captivity captive. That's where we get that. And a lot of people, that don't make sense. It does make sense. I mean, we just, does anybody not see the connection in what we just read? It seems obvious. You know, the lower parts of the earth, Jesus Christ went to the lower parts of the earth when he died. And when he went to the lower parts of the earth, this is what he found. Lazarus and the rich man were down there. One was in heaven, one was in paradise, one was in hell. Well, Jesus Christ went to hell and left, and he didn't take anybody out of hell with him, but he dropped the sin of the world off, and he come out. And then he went to Abraham's bosom, and he took those people out. That's where they were caught up. They weren't in hell. There was a gulf fixed between the two. There was two separate places in the center of the earth. That's what we're talking about. Go back to Luke 16. No, it's even different. That's the closest thing you're going to find to purgatory in the Bible, but purgatory, they just made up. That's just a pagan makeup. No. So let's read these verses. Starting in 23. And in hell, talking about the rich man, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, isn't that interesting? Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, and I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So he said it's not possible for Lazarus to come to you, and it's not possible for you to go to Lazarus. Because he was asking to send Lazarus to him. So they're both in the center of the earth, but they're two distinct places. So hell's still the center of the earth right now. But paradise, Abraham's bosom, is gone. It's up in heaven. I heard that, yeah. Yeah. And it was so hot, it was melting their bits, they couldn't go any further. Yeah. But, yeah, that's, I've heard that. Other stories similar to that. Matter of fact, there was a, I can't remember where it was, I think it was somewhere in the United States, there's some place where there's supposed to be a hole where people, they say when they were ever, they were around it, they heard eerie sounds and stuff coming out of it. So I can't remember exactly what that story was connected to. But, yeah, well, I think it was out west somewhere, around the Grand Canyon area, somewhere out there. Sister? Jerusalem. Yeah. Boy, took them out when he left, but they, who knows how long they roamed around there as a testimony. Yeah, but they had a certain amount of time they roamed around on this earth as a testimony. That's his mercy and grace, the reason he'd done it the way he did. That's why I said, remember the message we preached here a while back called Future Witnesses, or the Coming Witnesses, talking about us. That's why I don't believe in his secret rapture. I believe the Lord's going to call us out of here, and then graves are going to be open. It's going to testify again of Jesus Christ. And two or more witnesses, there's two testimonies of graves opening right there. Yeah, similar, except Christ won't have to die and, you know, go down there and get them again because they're already saved. The Spirit of God will enter back into them. You know, the Spirit will enter back into them. Their body will be changed. And who, if we're alive at that time, we're going to meet him in the air. Possibly, but it was more for Israel because it went to Jerusalem. It was, the signs are usually, or 99.9, the signs are for Israel. The words for us, the signs for Israel. The Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But he did, they were their patriarchs. They were their lineage that come back up, and they could see them and recognize them and say, wow, they're back on the earth. And that's another thing. David was probably there. He's going to be back again. We know Moses and Elijah were on Mount Transfiguration. So, brother? I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about that because they come in, they don't get a spiritual thing like we get. They're getting a physical kingdom. So I'm not sure about their bodies and how that works, when that works. That may have more to do with the tree of life in the millennium. I'm not sure about that. That's where it gets kind of dicey, because there are folks that have a right to the tree of life in the millennium, and that might be where they get. Yeah, it's definitely. But I mean, or could be people that get in through the Judaic system like the Old Testament. But that could be where they get their, that fruit gives them a new body or something. I'm not sure exactly how that works. But that's a good question, though, because that's, you would think, they would definitely have, they didn't have the life of the flesh, because they'd already died. So I'm not sure exactly how he works that out. But that tree of life's there for a reason, and those people are going to be back on this earth. Are they already ready for eternity when they get back on this earth? Or do they, like, lead the line to the tree of life? I'm not sure about that. Brother? Yeah, the bodies come up for a testimony. Yeah. And plus, you're getting a new body. So that's where that takes place for the church age folks. They get a new body, and the folks that are still alive are changed and meet them in the air. So we get a body like Christ at that point. But see, that's why it seems like we're going to identify everybody. We know the Old Testament saints identified who they were. They knew who they were as a testimony. We're going to see people as a testimony. I think lost people are going to see people that they knew that they went to the funeral of. And they're going to go, whoa. You know? And maybe they come out of that grave for a period of time and some folks are getting saved before the complete rapture as that testimony. They're definitely going to be a testimony to those folks that aren't saved. They're going to go into the tribulation and go, whoa, wait a minute, we got to figure out what's going on here. Because these crazy Christians have been talking about stuff like this for years, and now we see something happening. And the government's going to, or George Soros is going to say, no, it's my aliens doing that. No. Yeah, but I don't know that there might be a period of time before when the graves open, even if it's minutes or hours or whatever, where they are a testimony before they're changed. So I'm. Maybe. They may go up, because before the completed rapture, there might be, we don't know how long the rapture is. There could be, even if it's an hour, there's an hour. Let's say there's an hour where people are roaming the earth, and then we're meeting them in the air an hour later. That hour, people might be calling out to Christ and saying, Lord, forgive me and save me, before the completed rapture. Well, I mean, that's why else would you get saved? I didn't want to go to hell. realizing that we're wrong in God's eyes and hell's real. I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting saved so you don't go to hell. But if they actually believed the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, and they hadn't repented yet, maybe that might be the point of repentance. Because just believing Jesus Christ existed doesn't save people. But when we believe in Jesus Christ, he was a good man, he was a prophet or whatever. We believe that even he even rose again. But they hadn't repented. That gets your repenter going, maybe. No. Well, I mean, those bodies might just be walking around the way they are and then get changed. You know what I mean? So that here they are, maybe like the Old Testament saints. I don't think they were actually changed yet. They might have been, but who knows? But they'll definitely be a testimony. That's why I'm saying, yeah, you might not witness here, but you're going to witness there. If you're saved, you're going to you'll be a witness when you come out of that grave or when you hit and you go through the air. No, because they're separated from the flesh. And the flesh is what's sinful, and the flesh is the life of flesh and the blood. So I don't think they have that sin nature anymore. But we'll be the earnest of his salvation is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's what causes that reunion, the old body, the new body, that going to heaven. So Moses. Yeah. But there was a period of time where they walked around on this earth before that rapture. Well, that's another reason. See, they're pushing all this this Night of the Dead garbage. You know, what do they call that? Zombie apocalypse stuff. They're going to see it. I believe they're going to see it. What's that? It doesn't say that, but it says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Jews, yeah. So where it says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then, so there's that, and then is a time period. We don't know how much it is. It could be a minute, could be a day, could be, I don't know. But I believe it's probably going to be real similar to what happened to the Old Testament saints, because they walked around for a while. They got a period of time to be a testimony. And why would God not do that on the value of His Son to give people that time to say, wait a minute, I'm going to glorify Jesus Christ, get saved, and glorify Him by being part of this witness. I think it's going to be a time period. Amen. Yeah. I'll tell you, it's interesting stuff. People want to waste their time watching that perverted garbage from Hollywood. They ought to read their Bible. You know, good night, man. There's some stuff in here that Hollywood couldn't even begin to scratch the surface on recreating this. This is amazing, amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. God's going to make Mel Gibson and Clint Eastwood look like bozos when it comes to directing. Amen. Because when He says come forth, they're going to come forth. Sister? Yeah, the first fruits. Those are the first folks of Israel. After. So it says after. So, yeah. But they're still the first fruits. So everything's connected. This whole Bible's connected to Jewish festivals and feast times and holy days or whatever you want to call it. But it's not connected to all those days for you and I. It's connected for them because His whole focus is getting a hold of the Jews. That's why He saved us. To get a hold of the Jews. Yeah. Provoke them to jealousy. And we'll get into that again here in Romans chapter 11 here in a little while. But here in a few weeks. But anybody need any of this up here? We're good. Yeah, like I say, I know a lot of times we talk about what we believe as a church, and I talk about stuff during preaching and sometimes teaching, but we don't go over a lot of these specifics in a way that we can actually digest them sometimes. It's hard to go, well, you know, in Hebrews it says this, and in Matthew it says that, Luke says that, and then 10 minutes later into the message you're like, okay, whatever, and then you got Hebrews and Matthew wrote down. What in the world was that for, you know? But we can do this once in a while. It helps me, and hopefully it helps you guys. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think maybe years ago I watched a video. Yeah, I mean, we can, through supposition, come up with all kinds of ideas, but I think it's going to be a lot like it was when the Old Testament saints come out. And like I say, if there's a time period, maybe at the last moment, well, in a moment we shall be changed, we're going to meet Him in the air, maybe at that moment, maybe the plane crashes and car wrecks or something going on. Maybe the Lord's like, all right, you want correct chaos? You can have it. But I believe there's going to be a time of testimony where the people just don't come back out of the graves for the sake of doing it. There's going to be it's a testimony. God does everything for a reason. And all of it's showing His mercy and His grace somehow, even though we don't understand it all. Sister? Okay. All right, let's wrap it up there.